today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Best not to say things that you don't know much about. Keep it to yourself and let God kind of work all that out in you. That can get fixed a lot easier than once you start broadcasting things and become known as a gossip or a loudmouth or someone who doesn't know what you're talking about. Better to keep it inside and be slower to judge. We self-examine ourselves so that we can be helpful and not harmful to the people that we want to set on course.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Today, Pastor Troy will be exhorting us to judge others the right way. There is a correct and righteous way you're to judge another person, and there is a wrong way to judge. You must be set on the right course before you can help set others on the right course. Christ wants you to judge out of a loving heart and according to His Word. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 3. As we join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled, Should We Judge?
When Jesus' ministry was growing, it was only when He began to say those hard things that the numbers dwindled. We don't like the hard things, but they're so important for our growth. It's a sign today that the church has bought into the philosophy of the world. The world has confused this idea of love. Do you know that? They're talking love all over. Church, they don't love. They're very intolerant. And that's where their mistake is. The world has confused love with tolerance. Live and let live. That's love. That is not love. For me, to let my children just wander off into the street because, well, they'll learn. And if they get hit, well, I'll just pray that they survive, is not loving at all. I must correct them. I must teach them. I must put them on sure footing. The whole idea of Israel's law, God gave them to help them be a light. They couldn't do it on their own. He wanted to set them up as a light, and He wanted to show them through the law how to look for the Messiah. It was to lead them to the Messiah because they wouldn't be perfect. And so we need those judgments in our lives. You know, there's a coming day when Jesus will make a final judgment, separating the sheep from the goats, because we serve a holy God. He's holy. You know, God is love, but God is holy. He's not holy because He's love. He's love because He's holy. Love is a character of holiness, not the other way around. He's holy. Holy comes first. That love comes to you because He's holy. That love is perfect because He's holy. So, God is holy, and the church is to be a holy place, a place where the saints of God gather together and worship and learn about a holy God. It's never God's intention for the church to be a place where we make the goats feel welcome and pet the goats. It's really a place where we feed the sheep. Sometimes you might seem narrow and judgmental, but Jesus is the one who said, I am the way. There's no other way. When we say that, the world says, that's too narrow. I can't help it. I didn't come up with that one. So now Jesus shows us how to make right judgments with the right heart. We do make certain judgments, but how do we make it with the right heart? He says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Before you begin to, first of all, don't judge critically at all. But when you are going to aid others and make judgments and help in other people's lives, we need to check ourselves. Take some time. Look at yourself. Why are you even saying that? Is it you're trying to put down to build you up? Really search your heart before you begin to make judgments on other people's lives. We are to be humble, self-examining. So we are to examine ourselves so we can make a right judgment. If you've never had kids, you may not be the one to counsel others on kids. I'm sorry. You may be well-spoken, but people might not listen to you. Consider that you may not be in their shoes also. You've never walked in that person's shoes, so you don't know what they do and don't know. Different people come from different backgrounds. And some, they don't think like you. They just don't know. And so instead of getting so critical and coming down on people and judgmental on them, teach them. Teach them first. Give them that new perspective. My wife, once she started talking about, you know, we need this book, or she liked to read, she wants our kids to read. And so I'm thinking, man, we're going to have to spend a lot of money to buy these books. I'm not all that much a reader myself, you know, so we don't need all these books. And she goes, no. You go to the library. I said, the library? That's right. We do have those. I knew we had them in school, but you mean we have like outside of school? I had never thought that way in my life. I didn't go out to libraries. I wasn't a reader. I wasn't aware of them. It's free, totally free. If you didn't know that, you can get books. You can get videos at the library. Everybody's like, and we're following this guy? I'll find another church. So there are different ways to think. I remember the first time going shopping with my wife. I was single. You buy things in a box, things you put in the microwave. Very few things do you cook. Got a stove? Don't know what it's there for. Warming the house, but I got a heater too. So I go the first time after I get married, and my wife, I never understood why they had a grocery a vegetable area. It's the first one you go through in most stores. Like, I don't know what all that's about. I'm going to walk through this. That's why they put it there. No one buys it. They just wanted to tempt you with it. And I'm wiser than that. I'm going for the box stuff. Tortino's pizza, you know, Tony's pizza, all that stuff. My wife, the first time we go shopping, we hit that section. And we stayed there for a while. Like a long while. Looking at things, touching them, and looking at prices. I'm like, what are we doing? What are you going to make with that stuff? I found you make a lot of things with that stuff for a fraction of the cost. I had no idea. My wife, one of the problems in our society is we have lost our way. We don't know how to spend money. We'll spend $10 on a single meal item. I'm exaggerating here for round numbers. I do that with Joshua all the time. $10 on a single box food item when 70 cents will make the same thing, or $1.50. It's a big difference. And my wife has kind of taught me that. But we've lost it. We've become consumers. They make it, we pay the markup. Well, we need to examine ourselves before we get so judgmental with people. Others have learned the way to do things, a better way to do things. And let me tell you, when you're struggling with finances and you don't know how to cut back, you've already, you know, cut the cable down to the basic package that still includes ESPN, and you're trimmed down all the way. There are other ways, and people know about them. And it's crazy, all the information that's out there. So don't be so quick to judge when you're a person who knows how to do it. Teach others. And with that said, don't be so quick to judge. We often make an instant judgment because we don't have all the information. For example, you know a couple is struggling with finances. You go to a restaurant, and it's a nice restaurant. Maybe it's a date, your anniversary or something, and you go out with your spouse, you're there, and you see this couple. Oh, my. We were on our anniversary, but now I've got something to talk about. Can you believe we know they're in fine? And you're making a judgment. But what you may not know is, yeah, they're struggling financially, but they're trying to get things in order, and somebody knowing that has blessed them with a gift card to that location. You don't know that. But you've made a judgment. God forbid that you post it on Facebook or put it out there. Best not to say things that you don't know much about. Keep it to yourself and let God kind of work all that out in you. That can get fixed a lot easier than once you start broadcasting things and become known as a gossip or a loudmouth or someone who doesn't know what you're talking about. Better to keep it inside and be slower to judge. We self-examine ourselves so that we can be helpful and not harmful to the people that we want to set on course. You must be set on the right course before you can set others on the right course, and so you examine yourself. Teaching from theory is one thing, but teaching from the wellspring of wisdom and experience, that's another. And that gives you great power. The goal in physical help is to give a spiritual hand. This is a very important point here, because we see lots of physical needs and we try to physically help. But the goal in physical help is always to lend a spiritual hand. Some will not accept the spiritual hand. They want the physical help. That's a problem we're going to talk about in just a moment. The church is not a place to simply do a bunch of good deeds. The church is a place where we introduce people to Jesus Christ. We get them into His presence, into His care, to turn to Him. We could do tons of good deeds and do people no good, because it's not the physical help that they need as much as the spiritual hand that they need. So in verse 6 we read, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." So as you go and you try to be helpful to somebody, whether it's with this physical help or you try to instruct them, hey, I see this in your life, before they turn and get to you, here's one thing you need to understand. You need to consider the hearer. Who are you talking to? What is their reputation? Do you already know them to be someone they've been told and they will not listen? Well, then just telling them, keep telling them, is not going to do much of anything. They've asked for handouts. They've asked for money. You've given. You've told them how that God will minister to them and God will provide for them, but that never changes. But what doesn't change also is the fact that they keep asking for money. Giving money is one of the worst things that you could do. You're enabling now a person to never, ever receive that spiritual hand. When we help physically, when we reach out to be in a critical, or not a critical, but a judgment of someone's life, it is to be with the heart that desires to help them. And if they will not receive the help, then all you're going to do is start arguments beyond that. It says, don't cast your pearls before swine. God has entrusted us with the holy things of the Lord. He's entrusted us with the truth of His Word, the gospel message which saves a soul. It converts and changes a life. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, you're not going to win them to Christ. But if God is working on them and He is leading you, He will use your work and your words to bring them to Him. We've got to be making judgments about those things. Is this a waste of time? It's just an argument I shouldn't even have? Because God's Word is not to be brought to the low level of an argument. It's a gift. If somebody won't receive the gift, then stop shoving it down them. It's not made for that. It's a gift, and if someone can't see it for that, then they've got more problems than that. No dedicated priest would throw meat from the altar of God to a dirty dog, and only a fool would cast pearls before a herd of pigs so that they could devour them. While it is true the gospel is for everyone, The Word of God is for everyone. It's also true that we shouldn't cheapen it to the form of an argument. Even Jesus refused to talk to Herod. In Luke chapter 23, verse 9, Herod questioned him with many words, but it says Jesus answered him nothing. There was nothing to say. Paul often refused to argue with people who refused his word. He spoke to the Jews. He went to them first. And finally, he said to them, look, you guys have rejected it. And now, as God has called me, I am taking it to the Gentiles. I just want you to know so you don't get, they're going to get angry anyway, but I've told you. And now I'm taking it to the Gentiles. You're not listening. When people want physical help, but refuse the spiritual lesson, you are not helping them at all. In fact, what's interesting is they will often be the ones who criticize you for not helping them. And then they will tell you you're being judgmental when you're trying to lift them. You can't win for losing with them. Their heart is not in the right place. So we have a church culture today that is sort of bending to this pressure. They're now helping with physical needs, and they're refusing to make judgments of any kind. Yeah, let's just help them. Let's just show the love of God. That is good. But they need to know the God who is loving them. That it's not you, that it's not your church, that it's not your organization, but that it is the living God who has caused you to change the course of your life. That I would have been doing this, I would have been watching football, I would have been busy about these things, but I am here today, a different person with different priorities because of the glory and the goodness of God. They need to know about that. A trend in the church today is that the church seems to be moving away from the message of sacrifice and repentance. The message is now of a loving God, far removed from His primary characteristic, which we've already described, is holiness. Far removed. They don't warn of judgment. They avoid scriptures and even songs that speak of the blood. They take scriptures like this one out of context and then put it on their banner saying, we're a non-judging church, confusing judgment of the right kind, judgment of the wrong kind. So there are churches now that emphasize this. And some of these churches, I read about one just recently, not in the local area, but a church that is starting to meet in pubs, not their main service, but in some of their group fellowships. They're meeting in pubs now over a few beers in the name of being more social and welcoming and loving. They said, you know, drunkenness, yeah, we're not, the goal isn't to get drunk, but we want people who don't normally come to church to feel welcome, and this is where they're going. So we're going in there with them. So we're bringing Christians now down to the level of the people rather than shining the light and letting the Holy Spirit of God bring the people in to the light. The church is making a big mistake. I read the story of back when they were first putting out the railway tracks and the trains were in full motion early in our country's history. And, you know, even today they still share portions of the track. There was an accident. A passenger train and a freight train collided. What had happened is the passenger train carried students to a certain school and then back to their small town. And so as they were going, the train broke down on the portion of track that was shared by both. Well, it broke down at a section where there was a curve, kind of a hill and a curve, so you couldn't really see. And a freight train was coming. They're very heavy. And so as this freight train was coming, knowing that there was a breakdown, they had already signaled people. They took the guy. Now we have lights that flash. Red lights, stop. Yellow lights, proceed with caution. Well, they had flags back then. And so as the flag man was posted a mile or so down the road to give the train plenty of time to stop for the sake of the accident. So the guy goes, he goes out there with his flag, he waves his flag viciously. It looks as though the train is going to stop, but it just simply slows a little. And he continues to go around the bend And the engineer jumped off just in time after he saw what was going to happen. And everyone died except for the engineer and maybe a couple of maintenance people trying to fix the situation. So the case went to court. They were going to condemn this man. So there was a conflict in stories. The engineer was saying, I saw a yellow flag. He was waving a yellow flag. The flagman said, no, the yellow flag is always stored here. It's right there. I saw the yellow flag. I did not grab the yellow flag. I grabbed the red flag. I was out there and it was a red flag. It's his fault. So they decided, well, let's bring in the flag that was used. Exhibit A. As soon as they brought in the flag, everyone understood exactly what happened. He had brought the red flag and he did wave the red flag. However, over years with no maintenance and because of the sun, the red flag had faded into a off orange, yellowish looking flag so that it could be easily confused for a yellow flag if they're not next to each other. As a result of that, no one was saved, except for a few. Now, I want to say that many are preaching today a faded gospel that isn't saving people. We can never, ever water down the gospel and stop preaching its truths. We must be a judging people, but not in a critical, condemning kind of a way. But we have to make judgments. If we're going to help people at all, if we're going to lead them to Christ, if we're going to help them grow out of that situation, we must. Should we judge? Yes, it's the backbone of discernment, but not like the way Jesus wants us to. He says, judge ye a righteous judgment. To make a righteous judgment, we need to look at two things. One, God's word over our opinion. What is the principle that you are standing on to make that judgment? Yes, the Bible doesn't clearly say certain things, but there are principles that govern and guide. So what principle, what scripture are you standing on before you go make that judgment? If you're going to talk about the color of the carpet, leave that at home. You're not going to find that or that principle in the Bible. And look at the fruit of that situation or that life rather than the appearance. Take time. Watch it. Don't just look at someone and go, ah, they're sinners. Oh, they're bad. They're bad people. Oh, they're bad people. But watch over time. Get a sense of who they are. What is going on? What direction are they going? What's going on in their life? And then make a righteous judgment so that you can help them. Now, God's going to judge one day. And what is His standard of judgment? One, be perfect. Be perfect according to God's standards. Now, what that requires is, one, you have to know His standards, all of them, every single one. By the time you're able to even try to study and see what those are, you've already been condemned. You're already a sinner. You're a sinner by the time you're able to read well. So, we're born in sin. So that's not an option for us. The option for us and for the world is be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me. It sounds very narrow to the world, but that's the way it is. So I want you to look at your own lives today. And I know there are people you could go out and judge right now and tell them what to fix and how to fix it. We need to look at ourselves first so that we can be prepared. We need to have a heart that's willing to help others, not just condemn them. And we should have a heart that desires to help others.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.